when you hear the word optimist, you think it's somebody who's upbeat. And what does that mean to you, being an optimist?
I think that's a really good question, because I have a bit of a problem with the word optimist, because it's come to mean something. It's come to mean wishful thinking, I think. If you think an optimist is somebody who thinks everything's going to be all right, whatever, and they'll kind of maybe sometimes ignore the really obvious warning signs. So I think optimism is a bit like the word feminism. It doesn't mean what it means anymore. You know, to anybody under 25, certainly over here, feminist means lesbian dungaree wearing man-hater. Whereas actually, you know, it used to mean just somebody who believes in equality of opportunity for men and women.
Right.
And optimism now, I think, means to a lot of people wishful thinking, idiot, who always thinks the glass is half full, even if somebody's smashing the glass over his head.
Partly sunny when it's raining out, right?
Absolutely. But I couldn't find a better word that was snappier for the title. So, I mean, what it means to me is kind of I call it pragmatic optimism. So it is about that thing I talked earlier about. You have to be optimistic in what you aim for, otherwise you'll never get there. I mean, the American dream is that very example, isn't it? You know, that is what I'm talking about, pragmatic optimism. You aim for the right thing, but you believe there's lots of hard work there. You've got to use your smarts. You've got to, you know, put your back behind it, and that's the pragmatism. So, yeah, I guess it's the same thing as the American dream for me.
Attitude. You went out and got a lot of people who are in the know. Was it difficult to get to them? I mean, how did you do that, would you say?
Yeah, a lot of people have said this, you know, and a lot of other writers have come to me and said, how did you get that guy? He never talks to anybody. And I don't know. I
guess you were optimistic about it.
Well, first, the first thing is, I think a lot of people, when they're trying to get interviews, they phone up people and they kind of make this assumption that these people want to have coverage, that they want to be in a book or they want to be on TV, I didn't do that because if you phone up a very, very busy guy, like a guy called George Church, I saw, who's head of genetics at Harvard, you phone up and say, would you like to be in my book? He's going to go, you know what? I'm a bit busy, you know, on my way to winning a Nobel Prize. So, you know, I haven't got time to talk to you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I did phone up I did the sort of thing that you've just asked me to do, which is I didn't say, do you want to be in my book? I said, look, I care about learning. I care about people being literate in the ways of critical thinking, and I care about the optimism of what we aim for, and therefore I'm writing a book. And I think they bought the philosophy first, and therefore saw the reason for being in the book. I also think if you phone up and say I'm a comedian, that there is a kind of respect for comedians that other people don't get, because a lot of people are very terrified of the idea of going on stage and doing that. So you've almost got a bit of a hierarchy there. They kind of go, oh, wow. But they kind of respect you a bit. Whereas if you're just perhaps a normal hacker or a normal journalist, they might go, oh, it's another journalist. If you're a comedian who's saying, I believe in critical thinking, they'll go, okay, this guy is interesting. And then they'll engage you for another 30 seconds. And then you've got 30 seconds.
If you can capture them. Yeah.
Yeah. So George Church said to me, for instance, he's like, you know, probably the architect of the biotech revolution. He's, you know, it got to one point. He said, okay, well, maybe I'll do an interview with you, but tell me a joke first. And if I think it's funny, then
then we'll move on. If not, go out. Get out of my office, right?
Yeah, indeed. And I went to see another lady called Cynthia Brazil, who's probably the world-leading expert in something called sociable robotics in MIT in Boston. And they've got a policy now that she does one face-to-face interview a year. You know,
that's it? No wonder I can't get her on this show. You got her.
Yeah, do you know how I did it? I'll tell you how I did it. I mean, it's in the book. But, you know, this is about my eighth phone call with her PA, who is this extraordinarily brilliant woman called Polly Guggenheim, who is basically a New York policewoman detective turned PA to a roboticist. You know, you're not getting through there. And after eight conversations with her, I was thinking, well, they haven't said no yet. I said, come on, seriously, what does it take to get this interview? She went, you really want to know? I said, yeah, I really want to know. She went, high-quality Belgian chocolate.
Thank God that's what she said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You were sweating, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, do I really? Yeah, you'll have to wear, you know, Lederhosen and come and sing in German to it.
That's right. That. And make me laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. So I turned up, you know, with these inordinately expensive chocolates at MIT, and I got my interview.
Mark, do you find these people who are tremendously brilliant at what they do, do you find them to be practical, real people when you meet them?
I think in general, yes. Because I mean, I met a lot of scientists and philosophers and politicians and a whole bunch of people. And I think to get to any level of success, you have to be pretty practical. You have to really sit down and think, how am I going to get to where I'm going to go? And sometimes you have to fight against a prevailing wisdom. So, yeah, they were very practical. I mean, obviously, some of them are a little bit, you and me might think they're a little bit crazy because they're kind of single-minded.
Well, they're eccentric, aren't they?
Some of them are pretty eccentric with their ideas, certainly. I mean, I went to see some guys who talk about this idea of transhumanism, the idea that we can live for thousands and thousands of years through, you know, merging our bodies with new technologies or advancing our medicine and so on and so forth. You know, and these are very smart guys, but, you know, your instant reaction to them is, whoa, you are a little bit crazy. So, but in general, I've had to say they were all very generous. There was one guy who I'm not going to say who it was, who was a little bit bipolar with me in that I sent all the stuff I wrote back to the experts to check it, to say, you know, did I represent you correctly? Did I get it right? That wasn't to say I gave them an easy time, but it was to make sure that I hadn't misrepresented them.
Right, you wanted to be as accurate as you could.
Yeah, and also I sent them all back the criticisms or the counter-arguments and say, you know, do you think this is fair? And I was very diligent about that.
And by the way, not a lot of writers or authors would give the interviewee that option. So you're nice about that.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason I was able to get to so many people, because after I'd done a couple, they would say, okay, look, I'm going to recommend you to X and X and X. And the thing is, that, you know, they don't mind if there's a counter point of view put forward, even if they completely disagree with it. They just want to check that their point of view is being put forward in an accurate manner that they feel happy with. And also, these people like debate. They like to be challenged. I mean, a lot of the process, of course, of science is being proved wrong all the time. So they're okay with it. And I think this is something that's a lot easier when you're writing a book because you've got, you know, a year to write it. It's not so easy, I guess, if you're a journalist on a newspaper and you've got to file your copy, you know, in the next
hour. Got your editor screaming at you.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and then your sub-editor takes it and changes it completely, and by the time it's published, the guy on the other end of the phone wants to kill you. so I was lucky in that respect, yes.